You know, every Sunday morning is so different, isn't it, here? I mean, last week was amazing. I know I was due to speak last week, but I think everything I was going to say was said in one form or another throughout the service, and then, you know, the Lord took over, and there was no time left to preach. Anyway, I got to the middle of this week thinking, oh, I'm all right, I don't need to do any work, I've got a sermon already. And then I made my big mistake, I prayed about it. And God took me back to this passage that we've heard read from Luke chapter 5, which he's been speaking to me on and off for the last few weeks about. And I really felt that he wanted me to share from this passage this morning. I'm sort of reminded very much of the minister on his way to church. And he said to his wife, I've got two sermons, one's 20 minutes and one's 40 minutes. I don't know which one to preach. And she said to him, oh, preach the 20 minute one. And he preached both of them. Well, I'm not going to do that to you this morning. It's a bit warm to be sitting that length of time. But I really feel that I've got, you know, the word that the Lord wants me to bring to you this morning. This week, Duncan and I were very saddened to hear the death of a man who'd meant such a lot to us in our lives, a man called Ken McGreevy. And I think Ken, for me, was the best Bible teacher I've ever heard. He spoke so much into our lives, he expounded the word in such a way that he always spoke personally to us. And I think sitting listening to him years ago is when I first really thought that I'd love to teach God's word myself. So he was such a special person. He became a real friend to us. He came and taught on our counselling school every year. Most people I would give a subject to, like, you know, abuse or alcoholism or anything like that, but not Ken. He would come and give whatever the Lord had laid on his heart for that particular school, and it was always, you know, spot on. It was always just right for those pupils. Well, through the wonders of the internet, I managed to listen to Ken's last sermon. It was given just about 2 or 3 days before he died. And quite amazingly, it was the same passage that God has been speaking to me about so much. So I want this morning just to share, you know, what the Lord's been speaking to me about this passage, and throw in a few pearls of wisdom from Ken as well. His sermon title was Preparing for a Fresh Adventure of Faith. Okay, preparing for a fresh adventure of faith. And I think that's so appropriate for where we are at the moment. We are preparing for this fresh adventure of faith that God has got for us. So rather than read it again, I just want us to have a look at this short clip, which is the same reading we had earlier, but just in a different form.
And they said, I'm going to catch.
Oh, Master, we work hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I let down the nets. James! God!
Thank you.
Lord. I am a sinful man.
Don't be afraid. From now on you'll be catching men.
Didn't show it on that clip, but the reading starts off with there were so many people on the shore that Jesus had to get into one of the boats and pull away a little bit from the shore. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, we could have a service down on the beach? There'd be so many people that Pastor Andrew would have to get into a boat and speak from the boat because, you know, people were crowding around to hear him. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But when Jesus finished speaking, he said, "Put out into deep water, into deep water." That's a scary place. You know, you're out of your depth there. Now I can only swim with one of those funny, you know, long sausage-shaped things, you know, those floats. I can't swim without one. And the thought of going out of my depth in deep water is really terrifying to me. But you know, Jesus wants us to go to the scary places. He wants to go where we are really out of our depth. So we have to rely on him. And when we step out in faith like that, we generally have to step over our fears. You know, when we step out in faith, we have to step out over our fear. It wouldn't be faith at all if it was so easy for us, would it? But very often there's those fears at the back of our hearts. You know, fear of the unknown. What's going to happen when we're there? Fear of failure, that's the big one. You know, supposing I do this and it all goes pear-shaped, and, you know, what's going to happen then? Fear of running out of money. I know that's sort of been one of our fears recently, you know, that with this big new venture that we've got, all the expense and everything, but God has been so faithful and provided everything that we need just when we need it. Praise God for that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or maybe it's even just not being sure that it's God's will after all. You know, there's always that niggling doubt, isn't there? I know God can confirm things over and over again, but sometimes we can think, you know, is this really you, Lord? Are you really asking me to do this? At our communion service on Wednesday, which was a very, very precious time in our new building for the first time, God was reminding me as we were praying that Jesus said, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you always." You know, it was the same sentence as, "Go and make disciples, and I'll be with you always." He didn't say, "Stay where it's safe and secure, and I'll be with you always." The condition was, "Go." And if you think about the places that the disciples went, the things that they did, you know, we can only marvel at those. And the Lord's always with them, as he always is with us. Peter said, "We worked hard all night and caught nothing." Okay, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. He was a seasoned fisherman. He knew the lake. He knew the fish. He knew where the fishing grounds were. You know, and for Jesus just to say, "Let down your nets again," must have seemed crazy to him. So, you know, we've worked hard all night and we've got nothing to show for it. Our negative thoughts, our negative words, you know, can speak volumes, can really get in the way of what God wants us to do. Negative experiences. You know, perhaps we can stop trying because it's not worked before. It's never worked in the past. Why should it work now? I mean, we could say we've been here, what, 5 years? We haven't really grown all that much in numbers, though I'm sure we've all grown a lot spiritually in other ways. We haven't seen many people saved. Been hard trying to talk to people about the Lord. Why should it be any different when we move into the porch? But negative thoughts, negative experiences can sort of block out us obeying what God is saying to us. Can stop us going where the Lord is leading. We mustn't let negative thoughts or disappointments get in the way of what God is saying. No, oh, I'm so weary, Lord, it's so warm. Or I'm too old. You know, none of us are too old. God's got an awful lot in store for every one of us here. So God's calling us out of our comfort zones into deep water. It would be so easy and so comfortable, wouldn't it, just to stay here? Just to maintain the status quo, just to keep going, ticking over. But God's heart is aching for the lost and the hurting in the port of Mazarin, in this area. You know, he weeps over them just the same way as he wept over Jerusalem, longing to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks to herself. You know, maybe sometime we should go up to the statue of Jesus, which surprisingly enough says the port of Mazarin, the heart of Jesus. And I really believe that, you know, the port of Mazarin is the heart of Jesus, or has the heart of Jesus. Maybe we should go up there and weep over the town sometime. You know, share the heart of Jesus for the people here. Jesus said, let down your nets for a catch. And Peter said, if you say so. If you say so. You know, it's so easy for us to get involved in anything, in good causes or needs, but we need discernment to always know which areas the Lord is leading us into and which is not. We have heaven's authority to do the things that the Lord is leading us into, the areas he wants us to go to, but we need clear understanding what those are. We need God ideas, not good ideas. Okay, we need God ideas, not just good ideas. I know to my own cost, several times when I thought something was such a good idea and I should get involved in it, and it's just, you know, flopped. It's been a God idea. And then Jesus said, let down your nets for a catch. And Peter was obedient. He said, okay, I will let down the nets. Jesus said, let down your nets for a catch. Peter said, okay, I'll let down the nets. But he didn't say for a catch. He didn't have the faith for the catch, but he was obedient to what Jesus was saying. And because he was obedient, God blessed him. You know, sometimes we have to go ahead and obey God, even if we don't have faith for what he's leading us into. Obedience is never wasted. Obedience puts us in the place where God can work. It connects us with the spiritual realm. Peter did less than Jesus asked, but God did more than he could ever believe for. Peter did less than Jesus asked, but God did more than Peter could ever believe for. And I really believe, and I think we as a leadership believe, that as we obey God, as we launch out into the deep, even if we haven't got the greatest degree of faith, God will do much, much more than we can ever hope or imagine. God's going to do more than we can ever believe for. And they caught so many fish. They had their miracle, didn't they? They had to signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And sometimes we need help. I really believe that we're going to have so many fish that we're going to need help with them. Yeah. We can't do it alone, can we? And it's so good to be part of a big organisation that we can rely on to help. You know, we've got people there who need them. And it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. Sometimes we have to step over our own pride to ask for help. It's a sign of strength and maturity that we know that we need help. And individually too, we need prayer support, prayer partners, those who get alongside us and pray with us and for us. I don't know if we've lost this in the church at the moment, but you know, a couple of years ago we had prayer partners going. Perhaps maybe in September when we move into our new building we can get this going again. You know, so everyone here has someone that they can go and pray with and for, and to support and pray for each other. It's so vitally important. We need, you know, people around us who are going to pray for us. And it's also so much easier to believe something for somebody else than it is to believe for ourselves, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I can believe for your miracle, I can't believe for mine so easily. Before catching the fish, Peter, if you remember on this clip there, calls Jesus Master. Yeah, Master, if you say so, I'll let down the net. But after that, he says, "Depart from me, Lord." Because of his obedience, Peter not only received his miracle, but he also had a revelation of who Jesus was and how sinful he was. I think the first time I was ever conscious of the Lord being in the same room with me, it was sort of the night when I prayed the prayer, you know, to ask the Lord to be Lord and Saviour of my life. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I was just so conscious of the presence of Jesus in that room. And the first thing I felt was my sinfulness. You know. And I just felt all that was bad in me just pouring away, and all that was good in Jesus just pouring into me. It was just that sort of revelation of who he was and how sinful I was, and just receiving all that love and all that forgiveness from him. It was a wonderful experience. But I think so often, you know, the first time we have that revelation of Jesus, we sort of realise our own sinfulness. Isaiah was quite an example of that. If you read the first few books of Isaiah, he must have been quite a difficult person to listen to, because it was all, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you about this. And then he had that wonderful revelation of the Lord, high and lifted up. And then it was, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And his whole ministry changed from that moment on. You know, it wasn't all critical about the other people. It was all sort of because of his revelation of Jesus and who he was. So he had Peter had his revelation of how sinful he was and who Jesus really was. And the key to spiritual growth is obedience, just like Peter obeyed, and revelation. It's not expertise, it's not training, it's not gifting. Although there are all those things are so useful, but the keys really are obeying the Lord and having a real revelation of who he is. You know, many years ago God called Duncan and I from the security of our own home, regular income with Duncan's job, just to serve him on the mission field. And we did wonder, because we weren't teachers or doctors or nurses or any of the usual, you know, skills that you would expect anybody to have to go on the mission field. But through prophecy, we were given the prophecy, God has called you because he's called you. He's chosen you because he's chosen you. Not for any giftings that you might have, but he's called you because he's called you. He's chosen you because he's chosen you. And I can say that to each and every one of you here today. God has called you. God has chosen you. You know, not because of what you can do, not because of the giftings that you have, but just because it's God's delight to call you, to choose you. We are a people of destiny, as the song goes. You know, we have a purpose. If we wait to get everything sorted out, we're never ready. We need to go ahead, meet the challenges head on, and God will sort it out. Just a few verses from Luke 9, just to illustrate this point. Verses 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, that's Jesus and the disciples, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Deal with sorting your fishing business out first. Get yourself sorted out first. Go to Bible school for a few years." Although, you know, for some people that's very relevant, very necessary. He didn't say, you know, spend time finding out what your giftings are. Spend a few months preparing. No, he said, "From now on, you will catch people." If we wait for everything to be sorted out, you know, for all our problems in our own lives or in our relationships to be sorted out, we'll never get started personally or together. There's a lot of fish out there waiting to be caught. You know, several times recently the Lord's given me a picture of a great big fishing net over all the areas close to where our new church building is going to be. Are we ready for the great catch of fish there's going to be? Let's go forward into this new adventure of faith with expectation, obeying where the Lord is leading and believing and trusting in him. Because he says, "From now on, you will." Okay, from now on, you will. That's so positive. Let's just get that into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirits. Yeah. From now on, we will. Amen. Let's all pray, shall we? Lord, I just want to thank you that it's a fresh adventure of faith that you're leading us all into. Lord, thanks for the words that you've given us in our Bible studies, that the glory of this latter house will be greater than the glory of this present house. Thank you for that, Lord. We just look forward to that. Thank you that you're going to do abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. Thank you, Lord, in advance for the miraculous catch of fish that we're going to experience as we step out in faith with you. And Father, forgive us for thinking negatively, that what we've tried before has never worked. Lord, we want to move ahead positively, believing and trusting in you. Thank you, Lord, for those that we can call on when we need help. Help us to know when to ask for help. And Lord, teach us to live in your forgiveness. And Lord, allow us to share your heart with this world that so desperately needs you. In Jesus' name. Amen.